All right. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, Pastor Andy. Isn't he a blessing?
Jesus, you're a good guy.
Man, yeah.
Thank you, man.
One thing that I was thinking about just watching him was, it's not just what we say, but it's how we act and what we do, and that's I can learn a lot from that. Praise God. I've been coming here for probably close to, I think, 3 years now, and this has just been a wonderful church, a wonderful family to be a part of. And of course, we're going to Karis, to the college here. And I just want to thank you again for this opportunity, for all of us to practice and do this. So it's just been awesome. I got things that God's put on my heart that I need to do, and I know that all of you have the same, same direction in that also, because we're here for a purpose. We're here to allow God to speak to us, to build us up on the inside, and to go out and do what He's called us to do. And again, it's just been a great experience coming here. And I'm just going to share a little bit about myself. I was born again at the age of 30 back in 2001. Before that, me and my wife were together for 4 years, but then we got married and got convicted of all that kind of stuff. But anyways, it was great. I am a product of children's ministry. I know I shared with pastors about that, but I won't get into all that. But that was an awesome experience. And knowing that the Word of God is incorruptible, and that, those children back there, Susan, I mean, I commend you. And Lance, that's an awesome ministry. It's very, kind of under the radar, but I tell you what, if I was going to share that right now, you would understand that that is very important, and that word does not go void. So praise God. This morning I want to share something the Lord's spoke to me quite a while ago, but it's just been kind of rolling around on the inside, and I've been thinking about it, and I've entitled it Understanding the Good. And I know this is near and dear to pastor's heart, because God is good. He is. He is every bit of that. And we got to see that. And I tell you what, it's awesome. I'm going to just kind of go through some scriptures here, but in Genesis 1:31, the Bible tells us that God, everything that He made, He said it was good. At the end, it was good. The things that, this is kind of pretty obvious, but I mean, if we experience any good, it's God. I mean, it's, the sunshine, the clothes on our back, everything that we the air that we breathe. I mean, that's just a testimony of God's goodness, And of course, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve fell, and of course we're in this sinful world because of that. But God's goodness towards Adam was that he told Adam to take care of the garden, to guard the garden, to cultivate it, and to keep it. That was Adam's good to do. And of course, we know that he lost the garden because of sin. But the truth is, God has always meant us for good. There's his his purpose and his thoughts toward us were always for good. And even through all that, he had a plan through Jesus to redeem us from that sin. Now I'm gonna, excuse me. The title of the message is Understanding the Good. I'm gonna take the definition of understanding. This is actually from Dwayne Sheriff through the wisdom course we took, but I thought it was just so appropriate and so spot on to what God put on my heart. It says, understanding the capacity to distinguish between true or false, good and evil, right and wrong, what's important and not what's important. So, of course, wisdom is the application of knowledge, but understanding is what allows us to determine what is good and what is evil, okay? I'm going to read Proverbs 4:3. You guys can go ahead and turn there. I'm going to start in Proverbs 4:3. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. In verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Okay? So again, here we see the, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, the Bible tells us that Jesus is our wisdom. Amen? So that's, obviously we have to receive Jesus to be wise in this world. I believe the scripture also says that a fool says in his heart there is no God. So obviously we don't want to be fools. But if we're born again, we need to lift up wisdom. We need to, with all that wisdom, get understanding. Now let's go to Matthew 13, because this is primarily what the Lord showed me about this scripture. Of course, this is the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower is in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark 4. So there's three places there. In Matthew 13, let's go to verse 19. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. Okay? So here Jesus is explaining why the seed does not stay in the heart and produce. And I actually was... there's another verse I'm going to get to it later, but I'll just mention it. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter tells us to long for the pure milk of the word, for by it you will grow in your salvation. So I was kind of bouncing back and forth from this, you know, and the Lord spoke to me through Matthew 13. He said the basic of understanding is knowing that God is good. That's the first understanding that somebody has to have before they receive anything from God. I mean, think about it. Think about a small child, you know, children. What's the first, like, instinct that they have when they're young? You know, it's their parents are good. You know, they're being fed, they're being clothed, they're being, you know, taken care of. And the truth is, if we don't have that basic understanding that God is good, then everything else kind of just is going to be distorted, is going to be out of focus. It's not going to be received very well. So I thought that was awesome. I was like, wow. And this really explained to me, you know, when I'm being a witness, going out and sharing and stuff is, you know, if people don't have that basic understanding that God is good, then, you know, it's a seed planted. You know, it may be watered, it may germinate later, but because I'm not saying the seed goes away because it's incorruptible, but until the heart sees that it's good, you know, it's like having a table full of things. You know, I could have a table full of things that to eat or drink or whatever, but not everybody's going to partake of the same thing, you know. You partake of the things that you think that are good. Amen. If we were to go to Matthew 18, this is simple, but it's, I'm going to get into some other things here in a minute pertaining to our walk with the Lord. Oops. Matthew 18, verse 1-3. It says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Okay? So, of course, Jesus is sharing that we must become like children to receive the kingdom, and that pertains to our understanding of God is good. Again, that's the ground level of our understanding. It has to be. But as the scripture says, we need to continue in his word, and then we'll be free. He said, you know, John 8:31, Jesus said that. So we must keep this understanding in our hearts. Romans 2:4 says it's the goodness or the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. Okay? People generally do not receive things unless they believe it is good for them. You know, you remember Eve in the garden? It looked good. It looked like it was good for wisdom. See? It looked good, so they partake. But what did God say? He told Adam, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. So that was their good to take in their hearts and say, wait a minute. Why? Because what is understanding again? It's the capacity to distinguish between true or false, good and evil. That was their good. God gave Adam that word. So, and again, this is why reminding people of their sin isn't going to draw them closer to God, because you don't want to get close to someone you think has something against you. This is why Jesus, this isn't the total reason why Jesus died for our sin, but this is partly because of our conscience, because sin defiles our conscience. We're not going to get close to somebody we think that's, you know, again, has something against us. That works with our relationship with God. That works with others. You know, if I think you have something against me, that doesn't draw me closer to you. See? So sin had to be dealt with. See, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's good to know, because it draws us closer. Oh, God doesn't have something against me. See? God is good. I can draw close to God. Amen? So again, we don't have to beat people over with their sin. They actually know their sin. We all know what we're involved in and what we're not involved in, okay? We need to know the goodness of God that will free us so we have understanding that, hey, yeah, I'm in this mess, but guess what? God could get me out of it. And the truth is, he already has. I just got to believe in what his word says about the situation. And I love these scriptures in Luke chapter 5 because it just paints such a great picture of what I'm talking about. If we go to Luke 5, and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God," excuse me, "he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answered, said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net.'" It's always good to do what Jesus says, amen. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Now, isn't that a wonderful illustration of Romans 2:4? It's the goodness or kindness of God that leads men to repentance. "For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, that henceforth thou shalt catch men.'" So Jesus didn't condemn him over that. He saw the goodness of God. He saw the kindness of God, and that's what touched his heart. And the sin just came out. He just recognized, whoa, you know, I just witnessed the goodness of God. And he repented right there. Praise God. Again, notice Jesus didn't remind him of his sin. He just manifested his goodness. See, and I think that's the same with us, because when we're out in the community and things, and again, you know, the example of pastor here, he's joyful. He's, you know, it's, we need to get a smile on our face. We need to act like we're saved, you know, but it's the goodness when we're out there healing, you know, sharing healing. That's the goodness of God. That's what, you know, leading men to repentance. That's what's going to help draw the people to Jesus. Anything, kind words, all those things. Now I'm going to share some things concerning guarding our heart. So that we don't lose this goodness on the inside of us, this understanding. In Romans 1:21, let's go ahead and I know Andrew's got a wonderful teaching on this concerning the hardness of heart. And it's just totally true. But in Romans 1:21, and this is another thing the Lord showed me about this, was in verse 21, it says, "For even though they knew God," so these are people that, you know, we all know God, even the unbeliever knows God, okay? But it says, obviously they don't know him like we do, but they know he exists. It says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they become futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." So again, if we don't keep this kindness, this goodness in our heart, all right, being thankful and esteem him. And I remember reading this, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you don't esteem some, that's what the word honor means, to esteem. It says, you don't esteem someone you don't respect. Okay? God is worthy of our respect. He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy of everything that we have. He gave us life. Amen? And then he said, and you are not thankful to someone you don't receive from. See? If we're not receiving from him, chances are we're not going to be thankful at a heart level. You know, we might say things, you know, just out of saying things, but in our hearts, we need to be thankful to God. We need to honor him. We need to lift him up. Amen? And let's go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17:20. I remember the first time I heard this scripture, I think it was Cecil Paxton. And if anybody knows his ministry, he's got an awesome ministry of healing and miracles and things. But he shared on this a lot. It says, Proverbs 17:20, "He who has a crooked mind finds no good. And he who is perverted in his language falls into evil." Okay? So a crooked mind, the King James says froward mind, but I looked it up in the Strong's, and it says distorted or false. So when we allow life to distort our mind, to speak death and depression and lack and all those negative things, our mind gets distorted. Therefore, our hearts start going astray, okay? And then I looked up the definition of distort in the dictionary. It says to twist out of the true meaning, okay? And the true meaning of for our mind is to always have the understanding that God is good and keep that goodness on the inside of us. Amen. Honoring him, thanking him, okay, giving him first place in everything in our life. So if we go to Proverbs 19:8, just a few chapters ahead. I better do this. Light's glaring. Proverbs 19:8 says, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul." Now that's interesting. Who wants to love their own soul? We don't want to damage ourselves, do we? We don't want to distort our hearts. We don't want to distort our minds. Praise God. And then it says, he who keeps understanding will find good. Now remember, I'm linking goodness with understanding. I'm not saying that understanding is goodness, but again, that's the basic understanding that we need to have, is God is good. Because we're not going to receive anything from God if he's not good. Amen. So again, we're going to go to the parable of the sower and find out what makes a good heart. Okay? In Matthew, again in Matthew 13. Well, I'm just going to say what the good heart does. Here in Matthew, it says the good heart understands. Okay? In Mark, it says the good heart receives. And then in Luke, it says the good heart is honest and good. All right? And again, we have to keep that goodness on the inside of us. In Psalm 16:2, David said, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. You know, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, remember the rich young ruler asked, you know, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, only God. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know, there's a lot of organizations, there's a lot of people that are doing good things, and I think that's great, but guess who gets the credit for that? They do. See? Now, in the end, they're not going to get much credit at all. In fact, they're not going to get any credit. But I'm not saying those things aren't good. A lot of times, you know, people are doing things that I think Christians ought to be doing, but hey, you know, it's still good, but they attribute that goodness to themselves. But again, the only good that we're like David, the only good that we have is God. Amen. He says, I have no good apart from you. So we're going to wrap this up. Let's go to Hebrews 5:11. And I wrote down here, milk or meat. Hebrews 5:11. Of course, this is the scripture that Paul tells us how we can become mature. And it says, concerning him, speaking of Jesus, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Remember the definition of an understanding? The capacity to distinguish between true and false, good and evil, right and wrong, what's important and not important. And then again, I told you earlier that I was going to go to 1 Peter 2, because here's the milk verse. First Peter 2 and verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. But then it says, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So if we put these two scriptures together, I believe, you know, we're not supposed to stay on milk. We're supposed to mature. We're supposed, you know, that's pretty obvious. Our kids grow up. Okay, we grow up, you know, or should be growing up. But I don't think these are in opposition to one another. I think this is what is really saying is we're to always keep the kindness or the milk, the pure milk. Now that word pure means it's not mingled with anything. It's, you know, it's just like alloy or metal or whatever. It's, you know, it's either pure gold, pure silver, pure whatever. There's no mixture of anything in there. So in other words, it's the pure milk. In other words, you know, it's nothing that I added to it. It's nothing that, you know, you added to it. It's just through a relationship with the Lord, through receiving His goodness, okay, His kindness, and allowing Him to speak things into our heart and to manifest things. So we are to grow up. We are to get off the milk. But I believe that milk is supposed to stay on our lips. We're supposed to always taste the goodness of God, the kindness of God. And then he says, we will, you know, like newborn babies, long for the milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And we know there's lots of, I didn't write them down, but there's a lot of scriptures that talk about taste and see that the Lord is good. And always keep that, his word. And that's, his word is, will do that through our relationship with him. His word is, it is as sweet as honey. It is wonderful. But again, if we lose that taste, our minds can get distorted, and just like Eve and Adam in the garden, we'll get deceived and start thinking something else is more tasty. But it's a deception. Yeah? What does it say about sin? It's pleasurable for a season, but in the end, you know, it's just death. So we are to grow in our salvation by keeping the taste of His goodness in our hearts and on our lips. Again, if we combine those two in Hebrews 5 and 1 Peter 2, that's what the Lord showed me about that. And in Psalm 73, and I'm going to end on this, Psalm 73:26. I actually got it down here. It says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far off from you will perish. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I didn't write this down, but when I saw the word nearness, it automatically, my heart went to Romans 10, you know, where it says that, you know, the faith that speaks, you know, don't say, you know, don't try to bring Christ down, don't try to raise him up, but the word is near you, it's in your heart. It's on your lips. For he says, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of your good works. Amen. So let's keep the goodness. Let's keep the kindness. I mean, that was awesome, Pastor. That was good. But let's just pray right now, and if anyone is, if that's touched anyone's heart and you see that, hey, maybe I've kind of let go of that goodness and, you know, maybe I'm looking at something different, maybe I'm speaking something different, that, you know, God is kind. He is not pointing out our mistakes and our failures, but he is wanting us to rise up in him. He is wanting us to be mature, but he's always giving us that taste of his kindness if we'll taste it, if we'll receive it. So Father, right now, I just thank you and praise you for your word that is like honey on our lips, that secures our heart, that guards our heart in you, Father, that shows us that we're loved, we're cared for, and that you're always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And I just pray for the hearts in this room right now, and my heart, that we would keep your goodness on our lips, that we would keep your goodness in our heart, that we would have a pure heart, that we would have a pure thought concerning you, Father. This isn't saying that we don't recognize evil when we see it, because we do have understanding. It doesn't mean that we look away from our own failures, but it means that our hearts are directed towards your kindness and your goodness, knowing that we can go to you at any time, knowing that you're there for us, knowing that your kindness is always ready to wrap its arms around us. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the demonstration of your word today in the hearts of these people, Father. We thank you for the undistorted minds. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Amen.